Everyone should be outraged at the ugly scars on formerly green mountainsides left by clear-cutting, the practice of removing not just the trees needed for logging, but everything else as well, leaving only bare dirt. But many of us are not completely aware of the reasons this is done. Today we're going to let forestry science answer the question of whether clear-cutting truly does reduce the amount of old-growth forest, or if it might, counterintuitively, leave us with more. That's today on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode of Skeptoid is sponsored in part by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. All about clear cutting. Today we're going to dig into an emotionally charged issue, the clear-cutting method of logging, which leaves the forest stripped clean of trees and everything else. It raises anger among anti-logging activists who want the forests left natural, and that causes conflict with the loggers who note the activists still expect to fill their lives with wood and paper products. Some believe clear-cutting is merely a lazy and destructive tool of the greedy, who couldn't care less what the forests look like or whether it can ever recover, so long as they can extract every last penny from it. Today we're going to find out whether clear-cutting is truly as destructive as the activists think, or whether it's as necessary as the loggers say, or whether there's a bit of truth on both sides. Because whatever your position, it's to everyone's advantage for that position to be better informed by the best data we have. First of all, let's make an important distinction. Clear-cutting and deforestation are two different things. Deforestation is the permanent removal of forest to make way for cattle, agricultural, or other repurposing of the land. Clear-cutting is a logging method where the forest grows back. And that's what we're talking about today. Obviously, clear-cutting is ugly. It leaves great patches of bare ground where a forest once stood. These patches can be as small as 5 acres, and in the largest can be several hundred acres. They're usually seen interspersed with stands of trees that may have been clear-cut previously and now have juvenile trees, or maybe uncut old growth. But the near universal reaction to clear-cut patches is that they're ugly. So, how did we get here? In the 18th and 19th centuries, logging was done when there was little understanding of forestry or ecology, and nobody ever gave a thought to running out of forest. Then, in the 20th century, land was getting purchased, and loggers had to start thinking about efficiency. What arose was a practice called high grading. Loggers would select all the best trees, those that were the biggest and straightest and of the right species to meet market demand, and ignore the trees that nobody wanted. This improved their efficiency and profitability, but it left forests in a pretty bad condition. Trees didn't seem to want to grow back. So eventually, logging companies started to get deep into forest science. The best way to create long-term profitability is to log in such a manner that the forest will return as quickly as possible. So, in at least that one sense, logging industry and activists are on the same page. This is what led to the development of silviculture, the science of regrowing forest. Clearcutting, where everything is taken from the land, including bad and damaged trees, trees of undesired species, even shrubs, is not just a logging method, it's also one of the most practiced silviculture methods. If it was just about removing trees, also taking the stuff you don't want just costs extra money. Logging companies wouldn't do that if it wasn't an effective silviculture method. And they need to be in business tomorrow and next year, so silviculture is absolutely worth every penny of investment. So why do they spend the extra money to clear-cut everything? The basic reason clear-cutting works as silviculture is that by replanting saplings into an environment with no competing trees, it was found that they grew back fastest and healthiest. Trees also use a lot of water, and where other trees have been removed, more water is available for the saplings. They also get full sun. A clear-cut area can be the best possible environment for new trees to grow. Can be, but not always. Trees come in many different species with many different needs. They have different methods of seeding, and they grow in different ecosystems with different conditions. Different types of silviculture are practiced in different forests. In some cases, a variation called seed tree is used, where some of the best trees with superior genetic traits are left standing, sparsely throughout the nearly clear-cut area, to reseed the area naturally, and then once the new growth is established, the seed trees are removed. Another variation is called shelter wood, which leaves more of the original growth standing, best in cases where growth of the desired species will thrive under partial sun, and undesired species wanting more light can be minimized by the shading. In all three methods, you eventually end up with a stand of trees of all the same age and species, and in optimal health. All of these methods, along with others and including all sorts of variations, are better than high grading, where loggers used to go through and take just the trees they wanted. Saplings don't thrive where there are too many other trees still around because there's too much competition, and they don't get nearly as much water and light as they would in a clear-cut area. High grading also leaves the forest unsuitable for future reharvesting, because every time you high grade through a forest, you leave it with a higher percentage of undesirable trees, and only minimal slow regrowth of desired trees. And if you can't reharvest there, it means you have to go find a new place. And this is the basic reason loggers don't leave as many trees as people would like to see.
Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. Skeptoid.com/gopremium.
A common characterization of clearcutting that's often given in its defense is that it mimics a forest fire. It's common knowledge that fires, while destructive, are necessary to the long-term life cycle of any forest system. The undergrowth is cleared out, old deadwood is removed, the ability for light to reach the forest floor is restored, and some types of flora actually require fires to reproduce. It's a periodic reset button that gives the forest a fresh, clean restart. And the comparison actually holds up quite well, but only to a point. Clearcutting does provide all the benefits just listed. However, it's far from a perfect emulation. The greatest difference between a burned forest and a clear-cut forest is found in an unexpected place, the water chemistry of its streams. These differences are diverse, but consequences are relatively minor, except for one, sedimentation. Both clear-cutting and fires will result in increased sedimentation because there's no longer any undergrowth holding some of the soil to the hillsides. However, the biggest single driver of the increased sedimentation following clear-cutting is also from an unexpected source. It's not the cutting itself, it's the dusty dirt roads created and used by the loggers. This increased sedimentation has unambiguous detrimental effects on the stream biota, especially during the summer. Research has found that logging companies should maintain higher quality roads that don't degrade so much and should minimize their placement near stream headwaters. Trees are not the only citizens of the forest. Wildlife, of all kinds, also calls the forest its home, and impacts to wildlife are another of the most visible areas of concern with clearcutting. Obviously, wildlife numbers are directly related to habitat size and availability. A lot of research has been done on this over a long time, but perhaps the largest single project that has produced the most and the best data has been the Northwest Forest Plan, enacted in 1994, covering 100,000 square kilometers of federal forest lands in the U.S. Pacific Northwest. 10 federal agencies are involved in this wide-reaching plan, with a stated mission of being, quote, scientifically sound, ecologically credible, and legally responsible. Among many other things, it halted all clear-cutting of old-growth forest on this land, and included strategies to protect many particular wildlife species. In 2015, the Northwest Forest Plan scientists drafted their 20-year report, and pretty much everyone was surprised at everything in it. Much of what scientists expected to happen turned out to be wrong. Bird populations continued to decline, exactly the opposite of what was expected. Loss of old-growth acreage increased, also in contrast to expectations. The reasons? Fires. Forest fires were larger and more destructive than ever before, and this trend is projected to continue far into the future. In areas where clear-cutting was continuing, losses to the increased fire activity were lower than expected. One reason appears to be that clear-cut areas act as a sort of fire break, keeping the wildfires in those regions smaller and easier to contain. The somewhat counterintuitive bottom line is that the combination of clear-cutting and forest fires, according to the data so far, leaves us with more total acres of forest remaining than do forest fires alone without clear-cutting, and corresponding greater numbers of wildlife populations and species diversity. I'd like to close with a small personal anecdote from my research on this topic, which I don't do often, so humor me. I found one news article in which the reporter pointed to a freshly clear-cut hillside and asked the logging exec, "You think that looks aesthetically pleasing?" And he answered, "I do. Maybe I'm somewhat biased, but when I look out, I see sustainability and rejuvenation." Now, if you're like me, that probably made you roll your eyes and laugh at the transparent spin doctoring. It's an ugly blank hillside covered in stumps and scars. Now, I live in Oregon, and every time I fly, I look out the window and am sickened by the tracts of clear-cut mountainsides. But also where I live, I often drive through areas recently razed by horrific biblical-scale forest fires. I'm something of an anachronism, driving my Tesla through logging country. Some of these burn areas are a few years old, and the hillsides are absolutely thick with brilliant, bright green young saplings, all the same age. I've also stood in a tract of clear-cut former forest land, and once you're there and not viewing it from airliner altitude, you see the exact same explosion of life. Mr. Skeptoid is, unsurprisingly, not one to anthropomorphize trees, but it's hard not to be happy when standing amid countless thousands of waist-high saplings. I do think that there is a middle ground where the logging industry and the anti-clear-cut activists can meet. Perhaps both sides could improve the quality of their communication. Perhaps both sides could take a step or two toward understanding the other's perspective. Taking everything into account, the best-supported conclusion on the question of clear-cutting is that it's very ugly, at least macroscopically. But nature can be plenty ugly on her own as well. And ugliness is only in the eye of the beholder. Clear-cutting is incrementally more damaging to the environment then nature's worst will always continue to do. But unless we're all willing to give up having wood and paper products, it is more or less in balance with that need. Forest scientists are awesome and do amazing work, and their valuable skills will continue to inform and improve forestry management practices. You know who else does amazing work? Skeptoid's premium members, by keeping the show alive with their monthly micropayments and getting to listen ad-free as our thanks. Members like James Overton, Ron Crozier, who says he's a huge fan, Abhijit Chanda, and Heather from Vermont. Come join in the discussion of this episode in our private Discord channel. Just visit skeptoid.com/discord. Many of our listeners have named Skeptoid Media in their will or other estate plan. You can too. By making a gift through your will, you ensure that others in your community will benefit from the trusted and valued programming we provide. Learn more at skeptoid.com/giving. We would be honored to share in your legacy. You're listening to Skeptoid, a listener-supported program. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.